Okay, 6:04, I'm calling this meeting to order. We ready to go on the attendance?
Bennett?
Here.
Branham?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ferguson? Kilgore?
Here.
Rappaport?
Here.
Rollins Gay?
Here.
Sullivan?
Okay, we have a quorum. The only members who are absent, I believe, are Sullivan and Ferguson. You have an agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Moved by Rollins Gay. Is there a second on the agenda?
Second.
Seconded by Rappaport. Would anybody like to propose any amendments to change the agenda? Is there any discussion on this motion? All in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda passes. If anybody else, we have three public participation slips. Bill Sullivan is here now. We have three public participation slips. If anybody would like to do public participation and has not filled it out, well, I've got you, Barbara, has not filled out a sheet, it's not too late. Bring it on over here. That being said, first up, we have Barbara Kessel.
I'm Barbara Kessel, 904 B East Colorado in Urbana, and I volunteer at the jail with Books to Prisoners. And I wanted to just say something pretty simple, which is that I think it would make a huge difference if the Public Defender's Office had a larger budget and more public defenders. Randy Rosenbaum can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that there are like 400 caseload per public defender per year. Is that right? Okay. And the recommended caseload by the bar is 150. And the way that this affects the amount of time that people spend in jail, I can see because I'm there all the time. So people, other than, I'm not counting people who are up for murder or something, where they're going to have a big trial and they're there for like a year. But people who are up for smaller things, and they sit there for months and months and months, and their cases continued and continued and continued. And I think that this is affected by the number of public defenders that are there. And the other thing about the public defender's budget is that it's supposed to include a translator, and it's supposed to include detective work. And the hours for the detective work were cut recently or in the past, and there's not enough time for detective work. And I have learned from watching cases in court that detective work can make all the difference in your verdict, whether you have it or you don't. So that's all.
Okay. Next up, we have Patsy Petrie.
Good evening. Patsy Petrie, County Board, District 6. I have two items. The first one is this article in the recent NACO publication. This is the publication of the National Association of Counties, and it has to do with what some other communities and counties are doing in relationship to DUIs. And with the chair's permission, I'll hand this to Scott and just let you all pass it around so I get it back at the end of your meeting. And I think it's some interesting things that you may want to fold into your report or to think about and eventually go into your report. The second item is, according to what the county board said as your schedule, the end of October is the timeline for your task force with a report being sent to the county board in November. That's a very short timeline for you all to finish your work, and I would encourage the task force to consider asking for an extension of that timeline so you are not so pressed to delve into all of the issues related to community justice. And, of course, that is depending on your own schedules and willingness to serve. Thank you very much.
Ask her a question. If there's a motion to suspend the rules, then you can engage Ms. Petrie. Is there? Would you like to make that?
So moved.
Is there a second on?
Second.
Second by Rappaport. All in favor of suspending the rules? All opposed? That passes. Bill, what would you like to say to?
You mentioned
yes.
That we could ask for an extension.
One of the reasons that I put this out for people to be thinking about is that recently at a special Democratic caucus, there was a discussion related to putting off the timeline of having the consulting firm come on board until the next budget year, which will start with the new board. So that's a nice cushion of time. And one of the comments made during that special caucus meeting was that it would be probably very helpful for whatever consultant group is chosen by the board for you all to have had a good window of time to complete your work. Does that answer your question? That item is coming before the board on the September agenda, or that's the plans right now. Things can always change, and my sense from the Special Democratic Caucus is that there was a feeling of unanimity that was not a bad plan. You're welcome.
Yeah, so the county board is going to be looking at this RFP in September. So nothing's getting done before September. That doesn't mean anything's going to get done by September. It could get pushed back again. There was a discussion at the Democratic caucus on the 2nd, so I guess that was last week. There were some members who thought it would make sense to do a resolution pushing for an extension of this body past its chartered deadline. Obviously, that hasn't been put on the agenda, let alone passed, but that's a discussion because even if this board moves towards the end of September on this RFP, clearly this needs analysis is not going to be done by the end of this body's current chartered term. So absolutely nothing set in stone, but these are some discussions that are floating around. Next on public participation, we have Chris Evans. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Evans, District 8, Champaign County resident. Whenever questions are asked as to why nearly 100% of the prosecutions in Champaign County are against poor people, or why the majority of people prosecuted and those living in the county jail are African American, immutable excuses are given to explain these undeniable outcomes of the criminal justice system. These outcomes, we're told, happen because the law handed down by the state make no other outcomes possible, or police only go where the calls for service are, or law enforcement doesn't choose the race of the perpetrator, or, as we've seen in recent discussions of these topics, an ugly devolution of social thought has resurfaced. And some members of law enforcement are unashamed to say that the poor and black people just commit crimes more often than any other class or any other race. Meanwhile, back in reality, the criminal justice system's outcomes are based entirely on how members of law enforcement choose to respond to the behavior of the citizenry. The decision of whether or not to arrest someone, and I apologize to the attorneys in the room, if you needed a bathroom break, now would be the time to take it, because I am telling you what you already know. The decision whether or not to arrest someone, the decision whether or not to prosecute someone, rests solely with the police and prosecutors. This authority called discretion determines where police choose to patrol, who to monitor, which cars to stop, who to investigate, which houses to conduct controlled drug buys and SWAT raids, and whether an arrest is needed, whether a city ordinance ticket will suffice, or whether to ignore the behavior altogether. It is up to the prosecutors to decide how to act on the information provided by police, and it is prosecutors who decide how severe the accusations will be. And before I came tonight, I had listed all the forms of discretion that have been abused in this county, or not all of them, but some of them, from President Nixon, Trayvon Martin, Brady Smith, Ellen Feinberg, Luther Head, developer Steve Harrington, Sergeant William Allen Myers, Jennifer Starks, Urbana Police Officer Kurt Yord, Larry Martin, Millie Davis's home, Brian Chesley, Toto Kaiwu, Kiwan Carrington, Brandon Ward, Gary McFarland, Darren Mitchell, and just recently Andre Davis, where prosecutors in this county since 2004 have ignored DNA evidence that cleared Mr. Davis of a murder in 1980 in Rantoul and argued for 8 years to keep him in prison, despite the DNA evidence exonerating him. It's all up to the prosecution and the police to make their choices. So if we have a racial disparity issue, it's because the police and the prosecutors have chosen to make it that way. But rather than use this kind of methodology of pulling out the high-profile cases from the ocean of cases that are in Champaign County, which I think is a poor methodology, because we've seen recently, as the state's attorney deflected criticism about prosecuting the mentally ill, she brought out the case against the young man who stabbed the law professor at the Illinois Terminal Building, the Illinois Terminal Building downtown, to suggest that the mentally ill are all that dangerous and that psychotic. But you yourselves heard the mental health nurse say that the vast majority of people on medication and on psychiatric care in our county jail are there for misdemeanor and small infractions. So which is it? The reputation of the Champaign County justice system is so bad that Aaron Ammons, a community leader and radio talk show host, recently got on the radio and he told the audience, as he looked at the 13th Amendment, the loophole in the second half of the 13th Amendment, he said, Negro slavery has never been outlawed in the United States. It just got shifted to the criminal justice system. What the state's attorney recently described as the beauty of the system is actually a hideous reality for the poor and for African Americans in this community. And this condition cannot be left to antidote. So I have two requests for you. I hope that you stay on past November, that you continue to study this particular system well into next year to get the statistics and the raw data necessary to prove once and for all whether or not there is a bias and a difference in how police react to poor people, how police react to minorities, and how the prosecutions are affected by being a minority or being a poor person. It's been commonly understood, even accepted, that justice is determined by how much money you got. That's ridiculous. That the public defender's office doesn't get as good a deal as private attorneys, that's incredible. That's an inequality under the law. And that is the current reputation of the Champaign County justice system. The second thing I'm asking is that you look into the statistics and that you FOIA this particular criminal justice system for the numbers you need to prove once and for all whether or not we have a racial bias in this town. And with that, I will again encourage you and thank you for your service and your due diligence in serving on this committee. It's important work that you're doing, and I hope that you will stay on to complete the work. Thank you.
Okay. We also have Bobby Crist.
I can't even reach this thing. Is that good? Okay. My name is Bobby Trist. I'm a resident of Champaign. Do you need my address?
Yes, please.
503 North Fair, Champaign. I'm not sure which, 6 maybe? I'm not sure which county board district. And I would like to plead with this committee to, among the alternatives that you look for to incarceration, to consider more release on personal recognizance. Because many poor people are locked up because they do not have the money for bail. Bail is set oftentimes unreasonably high. And the result is a real tear in the fabric of society. Oftentimes, people lose jobs because they're locked up but not convicted, and they may not be convicted. They lose their dwelling, and oftentimes their children might need to go into foster care, which is an additional expense for the community and an additional cost, societal cost. 3 of my 5 children were adopted when they were between the ages of 10 and 13. And I can tell you that children who are available for adoption when they're that old have suffered unduly being through the foster care system and various substitute, perhaps group homes, whatever. So all of these things have a cost of both the fabric of society and the actual money, not only that cost to the people themselves, but to all of society. And someone who does not have the security of a loving home as a child, and you can't assume the home is not loving just because people are poor or even because somebody is accused of a crime. They pay for that all their lives, and society pays for that all their lives. It goes on and on. So I've also been a volunteer for Victim Offender Reconciliation Program in this county, so I think there are other alternatives, though VORP here was used only for juveniles. But please consider lower bail and, better yet, for a lot of people to be released on their own recognizance. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bobby. Is there any more public participation? Okay. Closing public participation. Does everybody have the minutes from the last meeting? Is there a motion to approve the minutes of July 2nd? Okay. Okay. Mark, you'll move approval. Is there a second? Seconded by Branham. Mark, you want to...
Well, I don't remember exactly.
Okay.